We're checking in with EMS here on the COVID vaccine. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Wisconsin launched phase 1B, 1B of the vaccination distribution this week, allowing firefighters and law enforcement personnel to get vaccinated. To date, the state has administered more than 239,000 doses, with nearly 36,000 people having received their second dose. And mobile vaccination teams are set to be dispatched to scale up the rollout. First responders, have you been vaccinated or have you learned of an anticipated date? How is your stress level and mental health amid the pandemic? Have you gotten used to the amount of PPE you wear on the job? It's 800-642-1234. Alan DeYoung is Executive Director of the Wisconsin EMS Association. Alan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, EMS has been part of this first tier of the vaccination distribution, this phase 1A. How is it going?
I think it was a little rough at first, not really having a clear communication plan for EMS as a whole. You know, a lot of people look to us, a lot of our members look to us and say, how do we get it? So there really wasn't a great plan at first, but they've started rolling out, you know, with contacting local public health centers across the state, having them kind of be the coordinators of not necessarily always distribution, but at least of communication. Some are doing distribution as well, which is kind of great to hear. And then also we've heard that hospital systems across the state have kind of stepped up and reached out to their local services to help out with the vaccination kind of process.
Ellen, do you find public health departments are taking different approaches to scheduling, to administering, to how to get the vaccine for your EMS personnel?
Yeah, definitely. Not all public health centers, you know, public health counties, they not all have the same resources, the same funding to be able to handle distributing it themselves. And so they're kind of looking to who else can help, you know, the mobile vaccine teams that are starting to roll out. But a lot of them are looking to, you know, clinics or hospitals in their county to, you know, help with this process, because some may have the resources, a lot do not, especially in the north.
How many EMS personnel do we have in our state?
So there's around 20,000 or so, I say, EMS providers that are licensed. Whether or not they run with a service may be a different question. Normally about 18,000 are directly running with a department anywhere in the state. So it's a substantial group of people.
Do you have any indication what percentage have been vaccinated so far?
Not any indication yet.
Okay.
I mean, you know, knowing the 240,000 so far that they said have been vaccinated, you got to think phase 1A is about 450,000 people. So even just based on that, you're saying about half of EMS, half of dentists, half of phase 1A has been vaccinated, and we're already moving on to phase 1B.
How are EMS workers highly encouraged to get the vaccine? Are they required? What is that like?
At this time, I haven't heard any requirements necessarily, but we are definitely encouraging EMS workers because they have this greater risk. You know, they're three times as likely to get COVID than nurses, five times as likely to get it than physicians, which you would think nurses, physicians, you know, they're probably the highest risk, but EMS even higher, because most of the time when they're going on a call, they don't know what they're getting into. They have some information or sometimes very, very little information. So, you know, wearing all the PPE they possibly can if they have access to it, you know, that they can do what they can, but they still have a higher risk.
We're talking with Alan DeYoung, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin EMS Association, and he's telling us how first responders are doing in the pandemic and the vaccine rollout to date. EMS workers, we want to hear from you. Have you been vaccinated? What's your experience been like working in this public health crisis? What support do you need? 800-642-1234 to join in. Email ideas at WPR.org. Alan, how much do EMS responders know about the COVID status of an emergency call when they respond to an emergency situation and they walk into that environment?
A lot of times, very little, unless specifically the 911 dispatcher has been told that this person has COVID-19 symptoms, or that the person knows that they tested positive for COVID-19. So if they're going into an assisted living facility that they know that that individual tested positive, at least they have that information sometimes ahead of time. But most of the time, that's not the case. Most of the time, they're just going based on symptoms. They're trying to get there. They're trying to, triage the situation, whatever it is, and make sure that the patient or is stable, in any fashion, whether they need transport or not.
Is there any follow-up to that? If there is, if you learn in the follow-up that someone on that call had, was exposed to COVID?
Yeah, so I mean, when somebody like that, when it happens, when they have a positive, case that they know about, many times they're going to have their staff, the EMS providers, tested immediately. And if they have to quarantine for that sake, they most departments require it. There've also been some departments that have actually basically told their employees that you can't go out of the county. There's no going on vacation somewhere in the state or anything like that. It's, if you do, you're going to have to quarantine for 14 days, when you come back. So there's other restrictions being placed on that too. And so it's not only just the call that you're going into that you have a risk of COVID, but then, risk anywhere else in the state, and your job is kind of on the line.
What is the dispatch building like now as your responders around the state, wait to go out on calls? What are some of the precautions they're taking, especially around PPE, personal protective equipment?
Well, most of the time now, this was unlike in the past. Every EMS provider is wearing a mask. They're wearing coveralls. They're wearing shoe coverings if need be. They're wearing the face shields if they have them available. But with obviously with the shortage, earlier in 2020, that thing made things very costly for EMS services, which are already hurting as is revenue wise. And EMS is non-essential in the state, which means there's no funding for them. So not only do you have to pay for expensive PPE, and they have to use it on every call because they need to protect their workers. They're also hurting because they're seeing some reduction in how many calls they're getting. People are scared to, go to the hospital now, and for the sake of possibly getting COVID.
Is there training at all for EMS to put on PPE correctly and efficiently and take it off safely?
Absolutely. Yeah, we they something we kind of teach on early on, that is, downing and doffing, PPE properly, similar to how nurses and physicians are taught. But nowadays too, department meetings that normally held once a month are now all virtual because they're trying to reduce the risk there as well. Just like most companies, but these are people that normally a lot of times it's hands-on training that's needed. They need to see it in person. They need to do it. They need to practice it, because it is a skilled position.
Ellen DeYoung is Executive Director of the Wisconsin EMS Association. As we check in on the work of first responders amid the pandemic and the rollout of the vaccine for this group, do you work in a local health department? How are you getting COVID vaccines to first responders? Have you had an emergency during the pandemic? What was your experience with EMS? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Ellen DeYoung here on the Ideas Network. We're checking in on EMS on the morning show. I'm Kedar Chirkant. Police and fire personnel are officially eligible to receive the COVID vaccine as part of the Phase 1B distribution launched this week. That's the second mass category of Wisconsinites eligible to get a vaccine. According to the Department of Health Services, local health departments are leading the coordination of getting vaccines out to this group. Are you a first responder? Have you been vaccinated or anticipate it soon? What is it like for you to get through a shift? How do you manage the stress of the pandemic? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. We're talking with Alan DeYoung. He leads the Wisconsin EMS Association, and he's with us for 10 more minutes. Alan, what challenges have EMS workers in Wisconsin faced as they respond to calls during the pandemic?
I would say quite a few. The main one I would say being their mental health, not only for the risk of getting COVID, but then the risk of bringing it home to families and, you know, not being able to see their parents who may be, you know, elderly, higher risk. So their mental health is already, you know, hurting from the type of calls that they see, you know, whether they be accidents or, you know, a lot of times pediatrics, you know, when small kids pass, that's a huge mental health burden on EMS providers. But now we're throwing on the potential, you know, you could expose other people to COVID-19 as well. They could be your family. They could be your friends. And we've had EMS providers get it that have gotten COVID on the call and have passed or not. Yeah. So it's a huge burden right now.
Have EMS seen an influx in calls at all, or maybe a decrease since the pandemic started? We have heard of people delaying in care, and especially when it would be even urgent care to get some medical problems taken care of.
Correct. Yeah, definitely. I've heard it firsthand from many departments that they've seen a huge reduction in their amount of calls, which doesn't necessarily mean a good thing either. EMS services in the state of Wisconsin being considered non-essential by the state, that means there's no funding for them. And so when you think about when you get an ambulance ride and you get a bill for it, that's how they generate revenue to cover their expenses. So less calls means less revenue to even break even. EMS has never, you know, broken even on just covering their costs for an ambulance ride. So with the reduction in calls overall, EMS is definitely struggling, and it's already been in a crisis. COVID-19 has just kind of exacerbated that, definitely.
And then there's the extra cost, I would assume, of PPE, how to afford that additional equipment.
Correct. Yeah. So PPE being, you know, shortages everywhere, everybody has to pay more because they have to have it. They have to protect their people no matter what. But they don't have the same funding as, say, you know, a hospital system would or a surgery center would, you know, in terms of PPE and just for anything else. That's the hard thing for most people to comprehend in the state of Wisconsin and, you know, 30 plus other states, no matter what the news says of EMS being essential, by the state law, EMS is considered non-essential, which means that it's not required. Only in towns in the state of Wisconsin is it actually essential, which means the town has to provide EMS service. So if you dial 911 and you don't live in a town necessarily, nobody may show up. I mean, most of the time they're going to, but if they're run by volunteers, and they, for some reason, can't make it because they might only have one ambulance. They might only have two ambulances, and they're already out on calls. Now you're kind of in a pickle type of thing, but this is life and death. So it's hard to think that don't my taxes go towards it? Yes, in some sense of if you live in Milwaukee, if you live in Madison, but the rest of the state, it kind of depends where you are. Most of the time, your taxes do not go to covering it. That's where the ambulance bills can't come in. That's where the spaghetti dinners and pancake breakfasts, which they no longer can have because of COVID, that's where their fundraising was. That's how they can afford some of the equipment and everything. So it's really been hit hard.
When you look at these small communities that are run by volunteer first responders, volunteer fire departments, that word volunteer, do you find that it is more difficult to find these people who are willing to do these jobs?
Definitely. And that's kind of a part of it being non-essential because you're not being paid. They might be paid a per call or on call, but that they don't fit under the federal or even state minimum wage standards. So they're not even getting minimum wage. Yet you're asking them to volunteer for 8-hour shifts, 12-hour shifts, 24-hour shifts, and to risk their life getting COVID, to risk their mental health seeing everything that they have to experience. So it's really hard to find people nowadays that are willing to volunteer because it's difficult.
We're talking, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Alan DeYoung, who is Executive Director of the Wisconsin EMS Association, and we're checking in with them on how emergency medical care personnel are holding up in the pandemic, as well as vaccine rollout for this group of personnel. You can join in. Do you work on EMS? Have you been vaccinated? What has your experience been like amid a public health crisis? Maybe you work for a volunteer fire department. What support do you need? 800-642-1234. We heard from Ian in Milwaukee, called in, couldn't stay with us. Ian is a truck driver, and Ian's noticed that EMS traffic has declined significantly, which doesn't make sense to Ian. People must still be getting sick, he says. What's going on?
Yeah, that kind of goes with the decrease in calls. I mean, you know, more people are scared to go to the hospital for, you know, possibly contracting COVID. They're delaying, like we've kind of heard, delaying surgeries or just care in general. So that's where you're probably seeing quite a bit of, you know, less. Also, there's just less people on the road. So less people on the road means less accidents and less need for EMS in that sense. That's what's been happening.
Well, on the funding piece, some counties and municipalities have been looking into new funding models for emergency services. And the Wisconsin Policy Forum has some reports on what consolidation would look like. What is your take on these alternative funding ideas and consolidation?
Consolidation itself, when you say TMS, they, you know, kind of cringe a little bit, which I understand. But in certain areas, consolidating to like a county level service makes sense. Not everywhere does it make sense because geographically in the state of Wisconsin, you know, some places are hard to access. But creating almost what we've seen a lot of times, even in southeastern Wisconsin, are districts, which is, you know, the combination of multiple villages or cities or towns or whatever it is to create a district of EMS and fire a lot of times. They can share resources. They can save a lot of times. They can actually then pay people. They have the funding combined across. So not everywhere does it work. There are certain instances that certainly I think that we should be looking at. How do we set up a different kind of model that they're going to respond to calls in a you know, timely amount of time, and they're going to have the resources to, you know, fund it in that sense.
Run a department, yeah. Let's bring in Kelsey now in Madison with thoughts on this. Hi, Kelsey.
Hi, thank you so much for this conversation. I work in long-term care, and I also had my first serious car accident just a month ago. I have nothing but the highest regard for EMS. I am heartbroken to hear that they're considered non-essential. Thank you so much for bringing this to all of our attention. My question is basically, who should we be calling? Is there lobbying? Is there any legislation on the table? Not only for the dignity of our EMS workers, but also, you know, like you're discussing, for the benefit of our community to be safer.
Kelsey, thank you for that. Alan.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've pushed for many years to try to make EMS essential, and a lot of it comes down to, I hate to say this, but funding and taxes. You know, nobody wants to increase taxes, and I understand that, believe me, but when it comes to something like this, for many people, if you're dialing 911, it's a life or death situation. You know, I've known people that have had a heart attack, and thankfully their service was within minutes, you know, of their house. So they lived, but that's not always the case because of funding. And so really calling, you know, our legislators and trying to, you know, get this on in front of them, saying, hey, we've been pushing for this for a while. It's life and death. It's EMS. Police and even garbage is considered essential in the state. Garbage is, although it's, you got to have it, it's not necessarily life and death. So, I mean, that's why we encourage everybody to talk with their legislators, their representatives in the area. We would love to actually get EMS considered essential by the state to have, you know, some funding. So it's available everywhere in our state.
We only have a few seconds left, but are there any practices that have started since COVID for EMS workers that you see will continue after the pandemic is over?
I could see possibly the PPE, the mask, you know, being kind of a now kind of essential for them. It helps stop the spread of so many other things as well. And I could see that continuing just for the sake of, you know, everybody's safety because they're dealing with the higher risk, you know, individuals.
Alan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Kate. I appreciate it.
Alan DeYoung is Executive Director of the Wisconsin EMS Association. Coming up, we get an update on how restaurants across the state are doing amid the pandemic and a proposal to allow bars and restaurants to offer alcoholic drinks to go. What do you think about this proposal? 800-642-1234. We'll check in on restaurants right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.